Even Crysis works on here. There are no GeForce Gamer in the room.
We have to use every form of energy we can.
You may actually have a bunch of chips sitting in inventory that I can't plug in. In fact, that is my problem, right? It's not a supply issue of chips.
And who doesn't love easy money?
Over $1 trillion overall market as we get through 2030.
That'll be $8 trillion.
Brought you this video with the new limited edition Disappointment Tour PC t-shirt on store.gamersaccess.net. Like a band tour date shirt of never-ending disappointment, this shirt features redacted GPUs on the front that were vaporized by the AI industry. There's also a redacted and censored GN logo in the bottom front, paying tribute to our new BFFs at Bloomberg Legal, who failed to silence us after they Bloomberged all over themselves late last year. The back of the shirt features the redacted Disappointment Tour, like the September Bloomberg incident. We also feature the Asus vulnerabilities, like its router botnet, the entirety of the RTX 50 series, AMD calling everybody confused in November, the RAM situation, specifically the what the fuck part of it, and more. These shirts are available with the tour date back for a limited time on the store. To support our testing efforts, reviews, and consumer advocacy going into 2025, visit store.gamersaccess.net and grab one of our brand new shirts in a comfortable 100% cotton or highly breathable tri-blend. They begin shipping end of January. Thanks for your support as we enter 2026. 2025 had some good news and some bad. But for the good news, the 9950X 3D launched early in the year. It was a normal CPU launch. There was nothing weird about it. It did what they said it would do. And that's pretty positive these days. Intel launched the B570, following up its B580 Battlemage series cards from the end of 2024. And the B570 also did fine in testing. And when we revisited Intel's Arc drivers for the GPUs, we found that they had significantly improved in a way that really changed how we might recommend Intel Arc. That was great news for Intel for the GPU side. In our first ever Linux gaming benchmarks, we found that Bazite serves as an overall reliable platform that makes not Windows gaming more viable than ever before for PC users. In other good news, Cases had an awesome year on our channel where collectively they've probably done the best they've ever done at not sucking. Specifically, Corsair's Frame 4000D, for example, was one of the best cases we tested this year, $100. And now for the RS ARGB version, at that price, with the fans included, that's a pretty solid offering. The Fractal Meshify 3 case was another of the top performers and top recommendations for us, where in our best cases roundup for this year, we gave this the best overall case. Li & Li launched its 217 Infinity, which we're still working on reviewing separately, but it does a great job to having a new approach for the front panel, where they've embedded fans in the glass. So finally, you can have your glass and eat it too. The Silverstone launched its FLP02, which is one of the coolest cases we've looked at in a long time. It manages to execute really well on capturing the retro theme, but having modern compatibilities. Hite launched its X50, another creative and unique case this year with some advanced manufacturing capabilities that were applied to it. And this launched at about the same time as the Haven BF360, which was another high performance focused case. Outside of cases, other good news included learning from Intel's board partner that Intel allows them to do basically whatever they want for custom cards as long as they support the product. Seeing that freedom of design for partners is a rarity these days. For cooling, Thermalright lost its mind once again, in a good way once again, launching dozens of affordable competitive CPU coolers. Valve announced its Steam Machine, Steam Frame, and new controller, squeaking across the line with some really interesting hardware that we can't wait to test in 2026. Now, we're almost to the stuff that this video is for, which is the disappointing stuff, but we've got to do the palate cleanser of things that didn't suck before we get back to the suck. And as another example, just some of the educational content opportunities we had this year were excellent, where as part of the tariffs documentary, we got to visit Lewis Rossman and do a tour of his shop.
Well, fuck you. I mean, seriously.
Oh, no.
Cut that out of the video.
That has to be cut.
It's Texas.
That can't stand. We also published what might be the most educational and complete how thermal paste is made video on the entire internet. And that's not because of us. That's because of this guy.
We are the German water cooling mafia.
And we got to learn how Yestin's video cards are made. That's right, we went to an actual waifu factory. Cut that.
Tough guy, soft graphics card. Fans, huh?
But that's not why we're here today. We're here for stuff like this. The disappointments of 2025. A lot of this comes back to everyone's favorite buzzword, AI, which we thought was bad last year, but this year, AI went from bullshit marketing to full-on grift as the tech industry's two favorite letters prop up the global economy.
My sense is that we're probably, you know, a couple of $100 billion, maybe a few $100 billion into a multi-trillion dollar infrastructure build-out.
Per year.
Yeah.
We see this massive opportunity, really, over $1 trillion overall market as we get through 2030.
There's how many trillions of dollars of computing infrastructures in the world that has to be refreshed.
The thing we believe is that we can stay on a very steep growth curve of revenue for quite a while. And everything we see right now continues to indicate that. We cannot do it if we don't have the compute.
And who doesn't love easy money?
That'll be $8 trillion.
Not bad.
We have to use every form of energy we can.
The biggest issue we are now having is not a compute glut, but it's a power. And it's sort of the ability to get the builds done fast enough close to power. So if you can't do that, you may actually have a bunch of chips sitting in inventory that I can't plug in. In fact, that is my problem today, right? It's not a supply issue of chips. It's actually the fact that I don't have warm shells to plug into.
And when they're not busy buying more GPUs than they can even use while you struggle to find a stick of memory for less than $100, these companies are exploring the military-industrial complex for their next move.
We work with Palantir to accelerate everything Palantir does.
So that we can continue to be the mightiest technology industry in the world, so that we can fund the mightiest military in the world. And all of that, I think, goes hand in hand.
I'm happy that our military is going to use AI technology for defense.
You can thank all of these people, the tech executives, for the DRAM crisis, contributing to upwards of 500% higher memory prices in some cases, and we can thank them for the brunt of the economic impact being borne by consumers, which we don't think is an accident. Whether that's through you buying components retail at insane prices, where companies like Micron have increased their consumer margin while killing parts of their consumer business to more closely match B2B margin, or whether it's from something else, like you subsidizing Micron's $5 billion of tax breaks, the US government's use of nearly $10 billion of taxpayer money to buy 10% of Intel, the company that just laid off tens of thousands of employees, again, and that has dragged its feet on taxpayer-subsidized fabs, again, or any number of other ways. One way or another, normal people are paying for this AI obsession, whether you're in the US or you're not. Undoubtedly, we are in a bubble. It's just a question of who's holding the needle.
Let's start with, are we in the bubble? And I will say, Lauren, emphatically, from my perspective, no.
We need to have energy growth very, very shortly.
I expect some really bad stuff to happen because of the technology.
But the good news is AI does something that humans have never been able to figure out before.
I cannot imagine having gone through the, like, figuring out how to raise a newborn without ChatGPT.
The AI bubble was just part of this year's disappointments, though. A big part, but part nonetheless. We had plenty of other issues with GPUs, Asus's router vulnerabilities, Bloomberg, Bloomberging all over itself, and illegitimately copyright strike in our report on the AI GPU black market, and more. Let's get into all of that. Our disappointment PC build for 2025 starts off with our disappointment PC build from 2024, NVIDIA, when we said this. We'll start the recap with NVIDIA, which hopefully won't disappoint us this January. Okay, look, I couldn't have known, to be fair. NVIDIA started the year off with the strong announcement.
Do you like my jacket? I thought I'd go the other way from Gary Shapiro. I'm in Las Vegas after all. If this doesn't work out, if all of you object, well, just get used to it. I really think you have to let this sink in. In another hour or so, you're going to feel good about it.
That's right. NVIDIA CEO and man single-handedly responsible for creating an entire micro-industry of targeted Google advertisements for the phrase Jensen Huang leather jacket, Jensen Huang, had some announcements to share.
Wait for it. Wait for it. I thought I was worthy.
Nope. But NVIDIA launched the 50 series, and then it proceeded to fumble in every single conceivable way, even though the architecture looked promising on paper. NVIDIA started with a paper launch, corresponded with fake prices, it had problems with missing ROPs, and it had its most broken-ass drivers in decades. Intentionally, it broke PhysX 32-bit support, and we think it lied about the RTX 5070.
5070. 4090 performance at 549.
But let's start the recap with the ROPs. Earlier this year, we bought a viewer's defective RTX 5080 to investigate NVIDIA's raster output unit problem. NVIDIA's missing ROPs sometimes cost around 10% of the total performance on defective products. When we benchmarked an RTX 5080 that wasn't falsely advertised versus one that was missing the ROPs, we found the complete card performed 11% better in Total War and 9% better in Dying Light 2. The best part is that NVIDIA told The Verge that the average performance impact would be 4%, which is on the low side of what we found in some of these games, and also it used misleading language, we think, to minimize the impact with its, quote, one fewer ROP, end quote, comment, even though one full ROP unit, which is what they were referring to because it's the smallest number they could use, contains 8 ROPs in software. With PhysX 32-bit, NVIDIA abandoned hardware-locked functionality of its prior GPU generations on the 50 series, leaving players of games with NVIDIA proprietary PhysX 32-bit features in a situation where sometimes an RTX 5080 can perform worse than a GTX 580. Separate from this, NVIDIA also pushed its worst drivers possibly in its history. The drivers had rampant issues with screen distortion and artifacting, crashes to desktop, hard system reboots, G-Sync issues, and general compatibility problems. Of course, looking back on it now, it all seems kind of obvious why they had these problems. Jensen Huang himself kind of explained it.
We can't write software without AI anymore.
But NVIDIA wasn't alone in the beginning of the year. In February, we said this. AMD, don't fuck this up, okay? And by March, we ran this segment. We tracked sales and sentiment for launch of the 9070 XT and made this map. In green, you can see areas of extreme customer satisfaction with AMD. Major cities in the U.S. did pretty well, far better than NVIDIA. Now, let's look at the dissatisfied area. And so today we're back in the chamber of anguish. You can't say that reviewers live in an echo chamber because I'm literally standing in an anechoic chamber. So checkmate, viewers. That's right. AMD marketing may not have all of its marbles, but it does have all of its ROPs. In spite of that, though, and in spite of the fact that their drivers were actually not the problem this time, they've been on a better trend than NVIDIA lately, they still had some significant issues for this launch. AMD promised pricing that was seemingly made possible only by rebates to partners in the chain, resulting in 12 of 51 models actually at MSRP in the US over four retailers at launch. Of those we cataloged, five models were an overwhelming 42% over MSRP. The vast majority of models available were actually just over MSRP generally. It took AMD until the last few months of the year to finally get these prices closer to their advertised launch price. AMD also this year told everyone that the majority of gamers, quote, have no use for more than 8 GB of memory, end quote, while then telling everyone that an 8 GB GPU as an alternative to a 16 GB GPU is, quote, no compromise, end quote, despite literally being precisely that. They compromise, like a 50% capacity one. So, while NVIDIA was in the corner huffing server exhaust and writing driver code, AMD was doing its best to make sure that it gained not even a fraction of a percentage point of market share in discrete GPU. So GPUs had the spotlight for the first couple months of this year, but they did graciously make room for somebody else to share the spotlight with them, which is ASRock's murder boards. ASRock, of course, taking the heat off of Intel for its 2024 CPU instability issues.
Thanks, Steve.
This was a story we followed across the year and never came to firm conclusions, but we did have a ton of findings we shared. Our coverage started in March when we began collecting reports online about ASRock murder boards murdering AMD CPUs, but in particular, X3D CPUs. We eventually added ASRock to our face-to-face series of interviews to try and get answers, and we did get answers. I mean, they weren't right. Technically, though, they were answers. We published dozens of charts, tests, and data points from logic analyzers and just good old-fashioned use computer like normal testing. Ultimately, we weren't able to figure out the root cause. Now, in the time since publishing our last deep dive into ASRock's motherboard or murder board problems, we did actually buy even more user boards that had been reported to have killed CPUs. And this most recent time, we bought power supplies, memory, the CPUs themselves, basically everything we could buy from the users to test the whole computer as they built it, which is really expensive, to try and isolate for the variables. And we still couldn't reproduce the issues on those particular boards. And in fact, one of the reported dead CPUs, I think, even came back to life after we wiped the contact pads on it. So we haven't made that video yet, but there's probably more to talk about still. Maybe it'll find another spot on the 2026 Disappointment Tour t-shirt. Up next, Asus. I'm in the chamber of anguish because here the Asus botnet can't read my brain. Asus this year had a number of vulnerabilities added to its other general fuck-ups over the last couple years, and one of them was called ASHUSH. A-S-S-H-USH. Well, there's a couple of them, so. This year, Asus's software and hardware were both impacted by attack vectors. Its routers were found to be slowly getting morphed into a giant botnet. And if this is the first time you're hearing about this, and if you're using an affected and unupdated Asus router, it's time to update immediately, or at this point, maybe just get a different router. This vulnerability is called ASSHUSH, or ASHUSH. At one point, Census had tracked over 10,000 infected routers online. Asus also had its Armory Crate vulnerability. Armory Crate vulnerability? Oh no! Whoever could have seen this coming? You also get Armory Crate, Asus's malware-like board-level functional rootkit. They try to masquerade it as a useful driver installing feature, but in the future, it's just going to be a zero-day exploit waiting to happen. And this year, Asus's Armory Crate and Driver Hub software were both exploited by security researchers. The Armory Crate vulnerability was found by Cisco Talos, with researcher Icewall determining that, quote, an unprivileged attacker can run a program from user mode to trigger this vulnerability, end quote. But another vulnerability called Asuspicious, found by Mr. Bruh, revealed that millions of users' information had been exposed since 2022, calling back again to the warranty and RMA disasters, but this time in the form of databases. As we titled the chapter in our Asus dumpster fire video about this topic, this was an unbelievably stupid exploit. Asus had hard-coded credentials with administrator-level, unrestricted access into its software, which the researcher was able to find and deploy in successful security research. We look forward to next time when Asus bypasses this particular vulnerability by, instead of hard-coding them into the software, just making the password password. They could really switch it up and make it username and make the username password, but it might be a little too advanced. Anyway, that was kind of small stuff compared to the major backdrop that started in around March and persisted through most of the year, and that was tariffs. So flying around between California, Texas, and North Carolina, we went on our biggest journey this year, other than the black market one, and that was meeting with a ton of companies ranging from previously billion-dollar public ones like Corsair to small independent repair shops like Lewis Rossman's. In that special 3-hour-long report, we learned about the impact of uncertainty caused by constant tariff changes for the PC industry, and we got one of my favorite Lewis Rossman quotes of all time.
Well, fuck you. I mean, seriously.
Look, it's not like there's a scarcity of supply for Lewis Rossman saying fuck you, but it's still a good quote. This ended up setting an undercurrent of price increases and responses, triggering layoffs and resulting in canceled projects or abandoned markets for some companies in the space. And we won't recap that entire thing here, it was 3 hours, but we ran a 2-part series on tariffs and got margin structure information from Height, logistics information from Cooler Master, US-based and Canadian-based manufacturing and factory details from Protocase, assembly factories like CyberPower and IBPower, and more. The tariffs' impact to the hardware industry wasn't necessarily even about the hard percentages for a lot of these companies. It was about the uncertainty and the literally day-to-day changes at some points early in the year. So tariffs was the big story, but there were some other moderate disappointments after that, like Origin's $8,400 pre-built PC disaster. But even that paled in comparison to what we felt was NVIDIA threatening our independent coverage in our next disappointment. That's right, we get to the NVIDIA press manipulation topic on the shirt now. Standing on a random bridge in the middle of Taipei in the middle of the year, we broke news about NVIDIA staff pushing us constantly in the background for things like getting multi-frame generation benchmarks into charts in ways that we just did not agree with. We thought it was misleading, bad for the consumer, and obviously just pro-corporate kind of bootlicking bullshit stance. And so we made a big deal about that and talked about the ways we thought it would be damaging to both consumers and to reality, because that's not how those numbers work. NVIDIA sort of dragged in the engineers who we have had pretty good access to over the years to produce these extremely educational, really fun, interesting, good content pieces, interviewing engineers actually working on the products. Like, it was pretty awesome. It's good content, and everybody could learn from it. It wasn't just bullshit selling you a product. That's what we liked about it. Unfortunately, NVIDIA decided to tie that type of interview together with these background verbal expectations for what should appear in reviews and basically start guiding the direction or shaping the narrative of reviews and editorial content. And effectively, we felt threatening access to engineers if we didn't cover things a certain way. We felt the company was attempting to exercise control over our choices and was doing so by threatening access to something that we and the audience liked, which was interviews with engineers that were purely technical and not just marketing fluff. A good example is our MFG and our DLSS content we ran earlier in the year, where we did that because we were interested in it. It was technology NVIDIA was talking about. We wanted to test the marketing claims against the reality. Some of it we liked, not all of it. But the problem with this approach is that, unfortunately, NVIDIA taints everything, because now, at least for us at the time when this wasn't public yet, we're sitting there going, I don't know that I trust any of these content pieces, because I know what they're saying behind the scenes. And then now that it's out there, it's a problem of, okay, but is anything truly independent if NVIDIA kind of runs this interference approach to marketing and PR? And unfortunately, they have tainted the ability to trust even the content with actually trustworthy engineers who are good, who only care about talking about the engineering and teaching people. And that's kind of what we had access to. And what we decided, you know what, fuck it. If they're gonna charge some kind of quid pro quo for this, then we don't want to be a part of it. But the loss is unfortunate there, and is a casualty of that decision from NVIDIA. Now, this isn't because the engineers can't be trusted. It's because the marketing driving the meetings might be behind the scenes trying to nudge an outlet's editorial direction in a particular way. And following this, NVIDIA decided not to sample drivers to review media for the 5060, even if that media outlet obtained the card through partners. However, it did decide to seed preview coverage under strict guidelines for fluff publications, immediately proving our point. So these were not reviews, these were previews under strict control with strict rules.
In fact, even Crysis works on here. Okay, so anybody who's a GeForce gamer, there are no GeForce gamer in the room.
Anyway, that was our experience with that in the middle of the year. And following some other disappointments, like the marketing bullshit of the 9060 XT we already went over, an Alienware SSD that was bent like a banana, a fake 9800 XD, a 5050 that was silently shoved out the door, and Main Gear's underperforming pre-built, we eventually got to one of our videos about Intel following the huge mess of AMD and NVIDIA GPU launches for the year, pleading with Intel to please don't fuck this up. This is the best opportunity you're ever going to have. Help us, Intel. You're our only hope. In that video, we laid out how NVIDIA and AMD had botched just about every single launch thus far in the year, leaving Intel an opportunity to just keep chugging along, improving its drivers. Within a month or so of that post, Intel was in complete freefall. Its fab rollouts were slowing down or being paused. The company had another round of mass layoffs. It was killing projects. And CEO Lip-Bu-Tan even managed to land in Trump's crosshairs with calls for resignation. A few days later, though, the two met and became BFFs to the tune of the United States buying about 10% of Intel. And then we hit my most memorable moment of the year personally, which was when we got Bloomberged. So we normally try to keep the build focused on, or the lack of a build this year, focused on the hardware industry. But there's a little bit of an accessory here this time, which is after we got on the ground in China, and we spent 3 weeks in Asia traveling for the story about the AI GPU black market and proving its existence and learning how it works and illustrating the nuance that in China, this isn't a black market. It's just the market. It's only illegal from the U.S. government's perspective for companies to send things there, but it's not illegal for them to transact within the country. And so it's a really interesting story. And so we traveled all over the place in Asia and covered this. And then we got back and we published it. And then Bloomberg filed a copyright strike and took down our video. We successfully fought it. We got reinstated. Bloomberg basically, you know, they happened to be a major recipient of NVIDIA sponsor money. And they also happened to have published their own unsuccessful failed attempt at a report on a similar topic where they filmed sand in a Chinese desert. And then they copyright struck ours. Now, we did get reinstated. If you haven't seen the video, check it out. It's on the channel. It's the AI GPU black market. After this, the year closed out with simpler things like NVIDIA becoming more of a monopoly and abusing the fact that the U.S. government probably won't do anything about it when they invested into Intel, who should be a competitor of theirs, and it just kind of continued to consolidate resources, taking a small share of Intel. Our concern with that was just the general antitrust behaviors. We talked about that in that piece. But the thing that happened after that was probably the biggest one for the year, and that was the RAM issue, where it's not just a shortage. It's OpenAI decides to basically reserve 40% of the memory wafer supply through 2028 to 2029 or so. And that in addition to the AI companies going crazy, buying everything. Data centers are being built recklessly, we think, where they're just dropping them everywhere. They can't even power some of them on because the grid isn't ready for them in those locations yet. Things like that. And they're sucking up all the memory, where RAM prices now have included effects from Micron's exit on the consumer-facing crucial memory business, which reduced supply availability to consumers in pursuit of more data center inventory. It also includes just the actual price, where if you go to PC Part Picker right now, you can see DRAM pricing trends, landing kits of DDR5 6000 64 gigabytes at over $800 now. Previously, it was like $190, $200 just 3 to 4 months ago. NAND flash storage prices are following, with price hikes inbound for this supply as well. And actually, hard drives are increasing in cost due to data center demand too. We talked about this in two main pieces at the end of the year, which was the NVIDIA what the fuck piece and the what the fuck just happened piece, which apparently is becoming a series for us now. And in those, the thing we talked about was this is a factor of the companies outbidding consumers, and the companies that sell these things, like Micron, even increase their margin, so they take more profit from the consumers who buy the stuff, and it's still not enough. They still favor B2B instead, because they're just going to keep hiking the the price and the margin until the point where the consumers completely fall out of the market and go, fuck all this. And it ends up just being they sell to each other. The companies sell to the companies, and that's the end of that. So anyway, we talked about that in separate pieces. We'll link those below. You should check them out if you haven't. But as for what is up for us in the next few months, at least for 2026, the big one is our content piece on data centers, where we are traveling different parts of mostly the U.S. to look at some data center build-outs where hundreds of you in our audience have told us about things that you think are just wrong, where it's maybe kind of steamrolling through processes, abusing outdated zoning regulations, ignoring environmental factors or human health risk factors, such as things like dumping more fumes into local communities, where in some situations, like near one of the XAI data centers, there have been claims of increases in diagnoses of certain breathing diseases, things like that. We're looking into some of that stuff next. That'll come up on probably this channel. And then GNCA has a few big pieces as well, like probably more with Palantir, because they responded to us on Twitter. So that was interesting. Anyway, that's it for the disappointment build. We have some good news coming up too. A lot of benchmarks and reviews coming up as always. Check back for all that. Subscribe for more. If you want to support our content in another year of in-depth testing, reviews, benchmarks, and also these special reports that we're getting out in the field and doing, then you can do so on store.gamersnexus.net by grabbing one of these t-shirts, the Disappointment Build 2025 t-shirts. They are limited for the back design. The front will eventually come out separately. But if you want the back with the 2025 tour dates on it, then you can get it for the next couple months or so. And we've got the information for you on the store page. Thanks for watching. Subscribe for more. We'll see you all next time.